Welcome to Blunt Business on CannabisRadio.com. Thank you for joining us here on the program. Wherever you find the program at CannabisRadio.com, the Cannabis Radio app, which is available on Google Play or the Apple Store, and also through all distribution when it comes to YouTube, YouTube Music, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, and so many other places. My next guest, yeah, we're going back to the interviews again here on the program. It's been nice to get back to this again, away from the monologue, but my next guest represents the Georgia Hemp Company and Simpleaf Wellness, and is co-founder and former CMO of Halcyon Organics, the first medical cannabis company in the South. And he is a respected steward of medical cannabis policy, instrumental in developing Georgia's Haley's Hope Act, which we'll talk about in a little bit, and the passage of the 2019 of Georgia's Hope Act. He's a sought-after authority and consultant on hemp legislation, sourcing, quality control, distribution, and marketing. I'm here again with Joe Salome. Thanks for being on with me, Joe.
Thank you very much for having me on the platform.
Took a couple of months off. The interviews I've done, you know, for other shows, but to get back into the blunt business and get back into cannabis about it is a nice release to get back into. So I'm going to ask the question about their background, which is one of those things I tell people, you know, you don't always have to start with that, but unless it's something really important and good. For yourself, you've had sales and marketing leadership. You worked with I believe that's the Atlanta radio station, 790 The Zone in Atlanta, and Mo's Southwest Grill. And you've worked on hemp-derived wellness products after you witnessed therapeutic benefits while caring for your mother during her cancer battle. So I want to just ask about that personal mission that you have to champion natural alternatives because of what it did for your mom.
Yeah, I appreciate you asking that question. You know, it for me, it was about the why and how I got into this industry. And that started with my mom. Seeing what cannabis can do on the human body from a natural standpoint is amazing. When you start actually seeing really good research and information about the plant versus negative propaganda, which we are, you know, raised on, all we ever heard was negative. But then in the 90s somewhere, positive stories started coming to light. Unique situations that it helped glaucoma or it would help with cancer in certain ways. And the internet really leveled the playing field for information, right? We went from millions of years of word of mouth, scribbled in notebooks or passed underground to this mainstream communication. And not only that, we had roughly 30, 40 years of research information from Dr. Raphael Mashulam, who just kind of dove in and created a program for Israel's medical system. And so that was very unique as, you know, I got into my 20s as an adult, grew up with Google, grew up with Yahoo, grew up with AIM, right? Grew up with the 80s of the development of technology and had this at our fingertips. We were now able to say, wait a minute, I'm going to ask a question. And if you don't have the answer, I bet I can probably find it, whether that's to the government or just to anybody spewing any information, right? We're taught to challenge. And when you have information at your fingertips to challenge and you can get results back, that's going to be scary for the people that have been holding something down. And that's where we were at. And you know, I was in my 20s. I was in my professional career at an ad agency. My mom was getting to the end of her career as a nurse. And so she believed in what her career was. And so she did go through the process of having cancer, ovarian cancer, and she survived. She went through chemo, but at the same time really heavily relied on cannabis as a therapeutic benefit to clean her system out, but to rebound her system. And when seeing that firsthand, in my 20s, you know, as you know, many of us did, we all sold cannabis as a side hustle and it helped provide ours for free. But the patients that I sold to, like my mom that I provided for, changed over time into not just being, you know, maybe my peers, but to being their parents that had conditions or friends that may have had a condition and were relying on alternatives, not just cannabis, but other alternatives that weren't pharmaceutically driven. And so that really kind of opened my eyes. It's like, wow. There really is a more natural, holistic world out there that, you know, we weren't being pushed. I mean, when you're growing up in certain environments that, suburban America, you're sold the store. You're sold to go to the doctor, get your pills, go to the store, get your food. This system, and then when that system breaks down and you see the other side and you can go, whoa, There are alternatives. Let's investigate. And then you start investigating and finding more and more information. It was that why that, you know, I can now go, Mom, here's some research. Let's indulge. Let's believe in this and look at this and see what it does for us. If we do believe that we have this natural endocannabinoid system, and if we believe that we have this, then let's dive down this rabbit hole of feeding it, overfeeding it, making sure those receptors are being antagonized, and so you can get the relief and benefit from it.
So real quickly, what level of cancer was it that she was suffering from?
Or we ended up in the ER with her ovarian ready to burst from a tumor on her ovarian cyst. And so it was ready to burst at that point. And they got it right before it ruptured. And so, you know, she was at like level 3. It wasn't doing good. I mean, she had no idea what was going on. We had no idea. She's a nurse. She thought pain was pain. Next thing you know, she ran the ER with us, and we're going through this process over the next 5-6 years, right?
Case, so overall, I mean, what's been the result so far from the treatment that you found for your mother? That what came of the cancer battle ultimately?
Well, going through chemo to flush the system, to rid the body of anything else. We use cannabis throughout that process to help flush her system of those nasty chemicals of chemo.
Right.
She said, "Yes, I'm going to do this. I believe in this. I'm going to do this, but what else can we do that will help offset that, if anything?" And so we did what we could to flush that system or bring her benefit and relief as she went through the pain of that going through her system. And so it was just constant use in various forms, whether it's suppositories, whether it was inhalation, or topicals. I mean, whatever it was, providing for her to get through that process.
Now, go ahead. Sorry.
So whenever we deal with cancer, you always ask two questions. Are you trying to fight the cancer as it is inside of you, or are you trying to recover from it on the chemo side? Because fighting, that's one thing, right? And recovering from the process is another.
Now, the other thing I want to look at is where you were focused on doing this for your mother, but then at the same time, you're looking to go and do this for those that are also vulnerable to this, that where cannabis could be really a treatment, some kind of relief overall. That led to Haley Cox. Then that's when we got to the point where she was born in 2009, July, diagnosed with intractable epilepsy and cerebral palsy, suffering over 200 seizures a day. And so her mother and her moved to Colorado 2014. This is the Charlotte's Web kind of story I'm hearing from this. Alexis Portell, I remember having going through a similar issue, a very big story about that. So you got to be part of this movement of legalizing at least the early parts where it all works everywhere else. Like in Florida, where I'm at, same thing goes with Charlotte's Web. It's that same kind of initial start for cannabis legalization in Georgia. So you worked there with State Representative Alan Peek, and together we're able to get the act that allows registered patients and caregivers in Georgia to legally possess up to 20 fluid ounces of low THC oil with no more than 5% THC for qualifying conditions. That was that first major hurdle to get things started, which, you know, I mean, even Texas struggles to get to that point. Then other states have not gotten to that point of the other 10 right. states that have not done anything at all. Tell me right. about that transition from seeing what your mother went through and then how you were able to go and find out about Haley's condition. And you said, I'm going to do something even more about it.
Yeah. So a lot of things transpired, you know, between my mid 20s and my early 30s when these two different activities happened, but seeing that happening, understand, you know, that became my why of understanding that this could help a lot of people in various ways. And what happened between those two periods was, you know, Colorado eventually went legal. We saw stories like what happened out west. Like there's some documentary TV shows that were running, right, of the two brothers in Northern California dispensary and them helping children, Sanjay Gupta special. And so we said, well, like, hey, you know, if that's happening out there, why can't that happen here? So, oddly enough, Haley and her mom connected with Alan Peek, and he brought this to light. He was like, wait a minute, if this is a possibility, then I'm going to help fight for this. And so we had a lot of patients come out of the woodworks to say, hey, we want to support this, and we're with them. We agree. We need this help. And we were a company that kind of stepped out and said, hey, we'll help. And again, we're in the South, we're in Georgia, to your point, nothing was legal, nothing. This was looked at as a felony, right? And we basically said, hey, look, we're helping. We did a press release saying, hey, we're helping patients in Georgia with medical marijuana, despite state laws. We're doing this. So, yeah, we kind of threw out a little gunshot of, hey, we're doing something to see what would happen. That's when Alan Peake, and not necessarily him, but a lot of them reached out and said, hey, can you come down here and talk to us about this stuff? Seems like you know what you got going on. We put up a nice website, lots of education based on Raphael Mishulin's findings. And we had a nice brand, right? And it seemed like we had our shit together. And we did, right? And so we were able to go down there and help at least have some sort of an influence without lobbyists yet, right? Eventually, we got lobbyists so we could continue sitting at that table. But it was about them hearing from everybody in the community of what this was that was happening out west. And they brought people in from Charlotte's Web, and they brought Jason Cranford in from another organization. They brought a lot of people in to talk about this and to help influence it. And so we were part of that, which was great. The stinky thing is about that law that was passed early on was it did provide you to hold a card. Now, again, two sides of that. We were able to get a lot of patients with different conditions down there, so they could take that from just one or two conditions like seizures or epilepsy. We have 18 conditions that they increased it to. So we were able to get, you know, the cancer patients, the intractable pain patients, the MS, Crohn's, epilosa bullosa was a small category within that was able to get it. All these different conditions were able to at least be added to that. Now, that being said, Governor Deal at the time was like, basically, hey, break federal law. You guys need to go break federal law and bring it back. That's how you can possess it. Now, again, my mom at the time was still able to get a card because she had the cancer relief kind of on her paperwork. So we got one. But it didn't really provide you much to do anything. I had to go break federal law. I had to go to fly to Colorado or California and then bring it back. Now, imagine if you had a child that had epilepsy in a wheelchair, or imagine if you were dying of cancer and you were trying to pull off, you know, cartel level shit, basically, right? You're being asked to bring that 10,000. And not only that, but of a product that nobody makes, right? It's a low THC oil below a certain percent, 5%, in an oil only form. And so nobody's really making that either.
No.
That was the other kind of hurdle around that particular bill and law once it kind of got rolling.
So when I look at the expanse of things that you've done so far, it's one thing for business owners like yourself that come into the cannabis industry because there's a personal story behind it of a loved one or themselves going through something that they realize cannabis becomes a passion of theirs and becomes a plight that they say, well, I need to do something with this at a much larger scale. And that's one thing to go and say about doing it for family members, but then also extending that out to others that you don't know really, but the thing is you want to help as well. And to go into the legislative routes to try to get that act passed is important. And then we're going to transition now into the work you're doing for the HOPE Act and trying to move forward in terms of let's get more people access. And then the same thing goes for the business model that you have with Georgia Hemp and SimpLeaf. So we're going to go into all that more coming up in just a few moments. We're going to go to commercial break, but when we come back, I'm here again with Joe Salome, co-founder, managing partner of the Georgia Hemp Company and SimpLeaf Wellness. And let me prompt all of you to go to the website and look at SimpLeaf Wellness and what they're doing right now. If you didn't know, Georgia Hemp Company has locations all around the metropolitan Atlanta area, which is a big, expansive place. Just try going around those highways. You will just get yourself lost. But it's thegeorgiahempcompany.com, thegeorgiahempcompany.com. And we'll talk a little bit more about some of the sport CBD products that SimpLeaf now has available, the SimpLeaf Sport CBD product, among other things that they have in their expansive portfolio. We'll talk all about that after a short break. Stay with us. Welcome back to Bump Business. I'm here with Joe Salome from the Georgia Hemp Company and SimpLeaf Wellness. Let's go ahead and talk about the Georgia HOPE Act. So your continued role as a legislative steward, the critical progress you made in the 2019 Georgia's HOPE Act, which legalized limited in-state production, manufacturing, and distribution of low THC oil. So more of an expansion of what the Hallie's HOPE Act did. And there's like, was that kind of like unlocks it with what other states were going through at the same time with medical? And that was just like the next step that needed to be necessary and that you jumped in on it?
Well, like I was saying before, they had no access in state. It was just right. Basically you got a card, you had a condition. Now this next evolution of that was, putting pen to paper and setting up, dispensaries, right? That was the evolution of where it was. We needed to put access in state for people. And so that's when they gave away 6 golden tickets. And I think a couple to education facilities, but, it was very limited. Like Florida was initially, right? We had, you know, a couple big dogs coming like Cureleaf and Trulieve. There's a couple local groups that got in on it. I think one out of Massachusetts or Connecticut, Fine Fettle. So you had some national brands that got a ticket, and then there's a couple local establishments that got tickets to play. Now, again, they're still fighting the battle to get more access for what's on their shelves at this point. They have a low THC oil product and gummies. They're still pretty strong. You can get 40 milligram gummies in their facilities, but there's no inhalation, no vape, no smoke. The THC percentage would like to be higher by a lot of patients, and they like to open up the list of conditions as well. And so again, you know, well, you know, if we kind of take, you know, we're kind of intermingling the timeline here, you know, we start to look at this. We were helping those patients during a period of time have access to medicine because they couldn't get it. So we were, you know, Halcyon, that's what we were basically doing, is functioning as a middleman between the doctors and the patients to get them something to get relief. We were talking to doctors, we were talking to health department, we were talking to patients, and we were working with all these conditions. I mean, we were working with probably almost 8,000 different patients and getting them relief and medicine because they didn't know what to do. They didn't know where to go. These were people that were stuck at home in a lot of situations because they had a condition, right? So we got through that. We eventually had to, you know, I broke up my business partner at that point in 2017, and we saw hemp as what we could see as the equitable way to start helping individuals. They can't, you know, medical, we just saw such a tough putt to get into. You had to be at a certain level of individual, maybe money, maybe connected. We weren't there as individuals in the world, right? We were just a couple of kids from the suburbs working our way up, saying, look, I see an opportunity. How do we make this happen in a highly regulated situation? Can we last long enough to maybe make it? So in 2017, we launched the Georgia Hemp Company and Simpleaf Wellness. Again, we saw hemp as the equitable way to get into the industry and help more people. Again, when you limit everything, nobody wins, whether that's consumers, businesses, or the industry as a whole. And so we saw that with hemp, and hemp was flourishing. We were able to have Delta 9 gummies, right? We could have Delta 9 products based on weight. And so we were able to have almost what a full dispensary had as hemp flower was coming out, and some other things. I mean, but we had a very strong business, and that's when we started to grow.
I remember even going back to the coverage we've done on Blunt Business going back over the years. I'm going back right now and looking back at an episode we did back in October 2019. And at that time, it was in July of that year that the Atlanta Journal-Constitution reported that to grow hemp in Georgia, farmers would have to pay an annual fee, submitting to inspections, and keeping accurate harvest records. And, you know, there was a lot of things that were being done in terms of setting up hemp licenses from the USDA to give approval, and everything was set up. Mm-hmm. And the regulations looked like we were all above board. The hemp-derived CBD market was expected by 2023 to go to $23 billion, like a lot of money being behind all this. And how much was being planted and how much growth. And now we get a stop to it. And but before we get to that, I'll go to that in just a moment, but I want to get to the part about where you come from with Halcyon Organics. So making the first medical cannabis company in the South.
Now, we claim that, right? We threw that out there. Why? Because of what we were doing, our mission, our goal, and the why. You know, was it a state-sanctioned medical? No. But we were filling the gap here in Georgia, and we went ahead and threw that out there. And again, we established ourselves.
Now, the other part too that's been the underlying issue of all together is that we still have nothing here from the federal level, which could clear up all of this. Mm-hmm. The hemp bill is being kicked the can down the road. They want to extend it another year. Now we're getting warning letters from the FDA about marketing cannabis-derived products. And state by state across the South, we're getting the hemp ban rampant. I don't know what you do about that yet, but the thing is, we've had this problem now, and I'm even going back to late last year. I had an interview I did back in April of last year where we talked about the sudden move for banning THC-infused drinks and restricting Delta 8 and Delta 9 products. And a lot of other states did the same thing, but the full ban, this loophole that was left in the FDA hemp bill, now being taken out, and now we're on this deadline to next year, or to this year in November, and you know, they're trying to go and put some kind of extension to it. But again, there's no answers to this. When you look at this, tell me about the frustrations that you have where you got to keep fighting with Georgia on this, but then the federal level could just resolve this if they wanted to.
You know, my head is swimming. There's a lot of targets on the wall that you're throwing darts at and you're trying to pay attention to. You're swimming in your head is the best thing I can say is you're just going from one wave to the next. You know, it's interesting, you know, here in Georgia, like you said, we passed some laws. Our farmers got in on it early on and the CBD market fell out, right? The whole country felt it. Synthetics thrived. And where you don't have access to cannabis, what we saw was that increase in demand for not only hemp products, Delta 9, but synthetics as well. We did dive into the Delta 8 world. This is about as far as we went.
Right.
Now, that being said, is that's where if you look at Google Trends, you look at the industry market, that's where searches increase, where people have access to traditional cannabis. We are a very retail heavy state, Georgia. There's more retailers of selling products than there is farmer growing, especially now. There's no reason for them to grow. There's no processors in our state. And the only manufacturers currently are beverage ones that popped up in the past 2 years that were old, or not old, but you know, current breweries that pivoted or pivoting. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, my word of the year is carve out. You know, I don't know how hemp can survive. And it's hard to equate Tylenol to opioid. I think that's a hard of THC is THC. And whether you like low THC or high THC, alcohol is alcohol, and low alcohol or high alcohol. So it's going to be a hard putt, I believe. But somewhere there's going to be a carve out for beverages. I don't know where. You know, in Georgia, to your point, we do have our own USDA certified hemp program. Our agricultural AG department has built out a great program. We have licensing fees. We have all this structure around it. I believe taxes are going to come this year. We'll probably have a THC cap on synthetics or a wipeout of them completely, to your point earlier about other states. But they are going to sustain our industry here in the state, I believe. So does our state industry supersede or say no to the Fed? If the federal ban does go through, can we still operate? Can all these states independently operate as the medical cannabis industry did before? And so we'll have to see if our states will stand up and uphold that. And then you have cannabis companies who did pay for licenses.
If you're a small business owner, you already know what it takes to keep everything moving. You're juggling customers, invoices, and about 100 decisions every day. Thankfully, taxes don't have to be one more thing on that list. With Intuit TurboTax, you can get your business taxes done for you with a full service expert. TurboTax matches you with your dedicated tax expert who knows your industry, understands your business write-offs, and gives you the personalized advice your business deserves. Upload your documents right in the app, hand everything off, and still feel like you're in the loop the whole way through. You can even get real-time updates on your expert's progress right in the app, which makes it so much easier to stay on track. And you can get unlimited expert help at no extra cost, even on nights and weekends during tax season. Visit TurboTax.com to get matched with an expert today. Only available with TurboTax full service experts.
Lots of money. Turn around and try to sue either the state or these cannabis or these hemp companies like you're seeing in other states at this point. I think it's a shit show unless you combine the two, because you're also seeing cannabis companies use hemp-derived cannabinoids to get CBN, CBG, THCV. All these things are happening in various forms. And so, you know, I find it hard for us to, from a business standpoint, hard for us to be able to survive based on the environment that we look forward at. If we want access and access is there, is hemp necessary or does it have a place? I think it does because of where we've gotten it into, because of how we've been able to develop it without the over restrictions, without the overstepping. Yeah. we've been able to see what a mature market can turn into: beverages, gummies, having it at the hair salon or whatever it is, and in a responsible form, of course, right? Being able to pick it up with your groceries. Now we're starting to see Circle K or big groceries in the South starting to put beverages in. Gummies are right behind that, right? The United Center just ushered in beverages in Chicago with Green Thumb Industries. It's going to, why not have a full dispensary within the facility with this no smoking, right? Or have a little puff room in the back, whatever. But gummies, beverages, you should be able to capitalize on these business opportunities with frameworks in place. So again, you know, responsible framework should help our industry move forward, but I don't know how the two survive together. No. The plants don't know they have names. We gave them the names, right? So it's like,
yeah.
You know.
So just to reiterate and to clarify for everybody out there, and again, we've been on this on Blunt Business for a while now, legal counsel, business owners, you know, advocates, we've talked about this. When Georgia has to deal with this, if things do not change where the imminent deadline passes, state regulators already have it that federal law allowed 10 milligrams per 12 ounce beverage. Each gummy contains 10 milligrams with a maximum of 300 milligrams per package. That's what it was. Yep. But again, 95% of all hemp related products would be wiped out. There would be so little that you could do with the hemp. They're basically forcing people to go create the hemp.
Correct.
For industrial
Correct.
Purposes. So you have to just change the whole model. And you were quoted by The Current about this. You said, quote, our industry just got wiped out. Anything hemp-derived that has THC is no bueno anymore. And you said the impetus was a growing concern about the proliferation of all these synthetics and labeled products that were from China, made with potentially unsafe products. But that's the part where there was no crackdown, no enforcement of the FDA to these products.
You know why?
We had nefarious actors.
You know what the PACT Act is?
No.
It's an act that vape, tobacco, inhalation companies have to abide by. It's a federal act. Uh-huh. It trickles down to the ATF or to your tobacco, firearms, alcohol, tobacco, and firearm departments in each state. And so everyone that is buying or selling tobacco or vape products, even CBD or THC or a category for hemp, you have to be registered under this, and you have to have manufacturers that abide by it. So the manufacturer says, I made this many. I bought the units from this manufacturer. We manufactured 5,000 units and we sold it to whoever. And then that's all tracked. And so usually that goes to the distributor in each state. Those distributors are licensed. I mean, so the PACT Act is what's supposed to be followed. If you sell vapes online, It should say, hey, you're going to pay an extra fee and you're going to have to sign for this. And so when you get that at your door, you're supposed to be signing for this because it's a 21 and up product. None of this is being followed. And when you just have this stuff flooding in into vape shops, gas stations, other hemp related stores, it certainly messes things up for the entire industry. The hemp industry, the natural hemp industry, got infiltrated by the alternative product industry.
So the Prevent All Cigarette Trafficking Act, which restricts vape shipping by banning USPS from mailing e-cigarettes, vapes, and related products, which is an extension to the electronic nicotine delivery systems. Actually, I was watching those congressional hearings right now, testimony from the Attorney General with Congress, and they specifically talk about the vape issue. Specifically pointed that out, and I don't know if that's going to make anything of it, but actually still we need to see
from a competitive standpoint. If we are focused on good, clean quality products, which we are, and that's why people come to us, it's great, right? But you're fighting against this, you know, you're constantly educating, which is what we want to do. But again, we're abiding by the law. We're doing what we're supposed to do. And sometimes we ran into walls where we don't sell vapes anymore.
Right.
Because we can't find a manufacturer that's abiding by all these laws that help us pay our taxes.
Well,
and
Joe, and we all know there are industry standards among other industries that could be followed along for cannabis or for hemp. When we talk about cannabis, we know that they can always use good manufacturing practices to follow along compliance for that. On the other side of the coin for hemp is the Cosmetics Act of 1930. So if mm-hmm. it was up to you, Do you feel like that Cosmetics Act right there, do you feel like if that act, if everybody abided by that act and the FDA just enforced it, would that be good enough? And would that be something that you feel like would be easy to comply with?
That's what most of the good actors in the field from day one have been doing. We've been looking at FDA approved situations that are similar to ours that we could apply, just like you pointed out. It's exactly what all of us are doing. The good manufacturers that have the GMP certified facilities that have pivoted from doing non-infused products. Hey, we've been doing the skincare for 100 years. Now we're going to do this. We've got a candy manufacturer in Colorado who's been doing it for over 100 years, and they pivoted into this world. They know what they're doing.
Right.
So yeah, it's like, hey, what can we borrow from the book of the FDA already if you're not going to give us guidelines?
We're going to go to commercial break. We're going to talk more about this and wrap things up. We'll also talk about the black market consequences and then just some other issues that I wanted to go and address here with Joe Salone. He is the co-founder and managing partner of the Georgia Hemp Company and Simply Wellness. We're also going to talk about the great products from Simply Wellness and Georgia Hemp Company. While we're going to commercial break, go ahead and take a look at what they do in terms of gummies and products all together. TheGeorgiaHempCompany.com, TheGeorgiaHempCompany.com. Take a look at the website as we go to commercial break. I'm back with final questions with Joe Salone from the Georgia Hemp Company and Simply Wellness. It's, by the way, I'll spell that out for you, S-Y-M-P-L-E-A-F Wellness. But again, you can find it all at TheGeorgiaHempCompany.com. Now, Joe, there is one of these things where, you know, it's not even talked about that it's the black market, but these nefarious products are basically black market products. They're able to get through the loophole that's out there for these products that can be very toxic and very harmful. And these should be considered like as a black market. It's like the consequence that doesn't get reported.
You know, that's what we competed against for a while. You know, we did welcome regulations from the state of Georgia. Do we wish we had our THCA flower back? Absolutely. Yeah. Did it kill crush business? It absolutely did. And we had to find a new normal. We had to adjust. We had a strong brand, so we were able to do that through various SKUs, but it's not been fun or easy, right? Regulations stunk, but what it did was it tightened up our processes for bringing products to the consumer. And at the end of the day, consumers trust in the product, in the retailer, and ultimately the industry is what's important. You know, I watch the History Channel and they'll show like businesses that helped start the America or industries that helped, you know, launch America, certain products. And one thing you learn is companies will come and go, but the industry is going to continue moving on, right? And so what we have to continue doing is being a good steward moving forward, regardless of, hey, you know what, this stinks, but I'm going to work with the government to say, hey, all right, let's take X and move towards Y later. There has to be baby steps. And what we got last year was some regulation around Delta 9. They didn't regulate any synthetics. And so we're seeing some bills introduced this year that either will eliminate them or cap THC, because we see the stacking, right? The stacking of a Delta 9 and a Delta 8 and a THCP, things like that. But we welcome regulation because it made everybody get licenses, from growers to manufacturers to processors to wholesalers. And then every product that came into the state has to be tested through specific labs that are DEA certified. And so again, here are the regulations you have to abide by if we want to play and operate. They lowered some fees where they got the feedback. And so I think, you know, if they can, you know, the AG's department, they want farmers to farm and they want consumers to consume in between those two places.
I want to ask you about a statement that was made by your team and for yourself about the reclassification of cannabis federally and the plan that President Trump has to go ahead and do that, which means they restart the process that President Biden started at the beginning, HHS to do DEA and move forward with this. And you said that your business is facing the uncertain future when Congress has this law restricting hemp products coming up. But you made a point that, you know, the step is towards changing something more important, how people view those who use hemp and CBD products. Quote, this is a win. Aligns federal policy closer to science and public opinion, helps patients with chronic pain, cancer, seizures, all these things. I want to make this point as clear as well that last week on the program, on this last episode of Built Business, I reported on a story from Westward that said about the $2 billion tax windfall that would come from Section 280E being removed as part of this reclassification. Specifically, business could show finally healthy profit margins. You would be taxed not on gross income, but on net income. More traditional investors can also see those profit margins, because now if you're a publicly traded company, you can show the profits, which you can't show because the gross income is going to go and take that away. And then also, you would not be stuck on these predators, private equity companies that would come out with high-risk capital. By the way, next week we're going to talk about the private equity process of cannabis coming into play. We'll talk about that with our guests next week on the program. But Joe, I just want to get your take on all this here about the benefits and, you know, just extending upon the financial benefits and the medical benefits that 280E taking that away will do.
Yeah, and again, this is the cannabis hemp, this is the cannabis industry, not the hemp industry, right? And so what this will allow those companies to do is write things off, like just straight up write things off. Their tax, will be different. Their taxable income will be different based, like just like you just said, being able to have investment, being on the stock exchange, being able to get investments from banks, more willing to lend them money, building infrastructure out once this becomes available, testing, research, right? And that's where more money comes into research to further this along quicker. They're gonna go ahead and move forward with it with the current research and the anecdotal stuff we have currently. But man, that research is going to come out pretty quickly in the next year, I can guarantee you. So they have something to continue pushing this forward very quickly. It makes everything easier to operate within the cannabis world. Yeah.
In the business sense for your company, if we had to go ahead and say, okay, when November 2026 rolls along and this hemp ban is going to stick, is it a major, and I'm just acting as a layman here because I don't know about the business at all. I've always been, just talking about this for 10 years, but I'm not a business owner, so I can't speak on this. But if you could transition by that point, reclassification were to happen, could hemp growers be able to go ahead and transition taking their existing fields and grow cannabis there for the next cycle? Could that be something that could be a transition possible?
100%.
Okay.
Yes, they would be chomping at the bits. But again, we have to look at what are they growing it for? If we're just going to put into 5% oil and low THC gummies, well, then that's not going to be a solution.
Right.
Right. We got to produce products that we got to meet the consumer where they're at. And again, that's where research comes into play. And we understand what conditions need what products and what strains and in what forms. Right. Maybe some pharmaceutical companies go, let's synthesize this stuff just like we were doing in the hemp industry and blast it on a brain tumor or, crank it up on an Parkinson's patient, or what can it do for brain? So when they start diving down all these rabbit holes of all this anecdotal evidence that we've had, or the Dr. Rafael Mishulam starter kit, like once we're able to start going down these things and changing humans, right? It's not just about a joint on the corner. It's about human life becoming better. Right. And that's really the why. And that's what's crazy about all this is we can get caught up on all these really small details of, yeah, man, shit could happen, man. Again, the history of cannabis may, hopefully I am a storyline and within the process on the shoulders of giants. Hopefully I'm on the shoulders of other giants, and hopefully I'm leading it for the next, round of entrepreneurs. Maybe my daughter's looking at what I'm doing and going, shit. Yeah. I want to be like my, I don't know, but we all have to think this is bigger than us. We all want our piece of the pie, and that's hard to do when you're caught up in it. And it's probably harder to do when you want control of everything. So again, I don't want to be a dead fish and go with the flow, but at some point you're just kind of like, all right, it's y'all's call, government, let us know. And that's how we'll operate. Yeah. So we have our formula, and I think we'll be able to operate for a period of time until the industry evolves, matures, and it encapsulates itself, it kind of eats itself all up, and we see it evolve over time.
I would recommend folks, as we direct now to the website and talk more about Georgia Hemp Company and Simply Wellness, that you go look at the article section of the GeorgiaHempCompany.com and take a look, because all the musings that you have here that Joe can, if you want to follow along with where Joe and his team are talking about all this, they're more than vocal about what they're saying about when it comes to the hemp industry, cannabis in general. And in that article section, I want to point out one thing that's coming out here. Well, a new product you actually have featured now this month as we record about what's now your Bless Your Heart Sweet High Tea. We got to talk about that real quick. So it's said to be smooth, sassy, packed with flavor. 12-ounce can, excuse me. It's going to have 10 milligrams THC, 10 milligrams CBD, balanced full-spectrum effect, sip at your own pace, alcohol-free, low-sugar, gluten-free. Tell me about this product here, and, you know, what a good time for the spring and summertime, especially down here in the South.
Absolutely. Well, I moved to Georgia when I was 12, and I learned very quickly what sweet tea was. Between a diet of sweet tea and Coca-Cola, I eventually made it through the dentist and into my adulthood. And, you know, tea is just a part of every meal. I do like unsweet tea typically, with my stuff, but listen, sweet tea is part of, as a staple in the South. It's part of every meal. It's part of every relaxing situation. And what I wanted to do when it came to the cannabis, beverage industry was create something you wanted to have more than just one of.
Yeah.
You know, we get stuck with these beverages that have weird fruits from the tropics or, you know, all these different things going on where you're just looking to have a nice beverage that's relaxing, something that I'm familiar with that I can just kind of move along my day or end my day with or sit on the front porch or be up at the lake or have it a family outing. It's just tea.
Right.
And so, yeah, we have 7 grams of sugar in it. I didn't want to put 28 grams of sugar in it like a crazy sweet drink.
Right.
I'm going to actually increase it to 14. It does need a little bit more. But yeah, we love what we have there. And we're going to have one more come out next month. It's going to be our Flying Peach. And that is going to be a peach high seltzer. It's got real peach juice in it, 10 milligrams of THC, and a little bit of sugar. But it's going to be a peach seltzer. Again, it's a fruit forward seltzer, not just a, you know, run of the mill. I don't like seeing zeros on the back of my can. I believe a little flavor comes with some profile. And True. So those two, if you throw them together, they're actually kind of good together. But again, we got two easy drinking profiles that seem normal, seem natural, that you can have a ball game, have the lake, have it home, and not feel like you're drinking something crazy from another tropical island.
Exactly. Now, the other thing I also want to make much of is Simply Wellness. So there's a lot when you've done right now when it comes to the sports CBD product, and you actually have a store that's specifically for that. They're right here in the general Atlanta area, and you now have what is the Simply Sport CBD, which is partnered with the minor league hockey team, the Atlanta Gladiators. I was just reading about that. And with that said, the product is, you have a 1,000 milligram CBD muscle relief cream, good for athletes seeking relief, fast acting cooling cream, soothing sore muscles, reducing inflammation. Tell me about this product here. I mean, you know, I've seen a lot of companies that will try to delve a little bit into the performance based products or just real relief kind of products. But yeah, 1,000 milligrams off of this, but it's a legit 1,000. It's not one of those where I've seen that's the ridiculous amount of milligrams that really don't mean anything. This obviously.
Well, let me take a step back. Simply Wellness, our sub brand, Simply Sports CBD. You know, we've always been very active with athletes. Whether that was minor league hockey, we also sponsored the Major League Lacrosse indoor team, and we followed suit with Charlotte's Web with Major League Baseball. We became the official CBD of the Atlanta Braves there for a few years.
Wow,
we're still there. Yeah, we're still there with the Atlanta Braves. And so what we did is we already had a cachet of products, whether that was relief creams, muscle patches, you know, cool sticks, things that were in that category. I came out of sports radio. When I worked in sports radio, I got access to a lot of athletes there, ex-athletes. Atlanta's the largest ex-NFL PA market in the country. And so I was really good friends with Ryan Stewart. He was part of the Two Live Stews. Him and his brother had a radio show, but he played at Georgia Tech and with the Lions and really kind of gave me access to some NFL players. And through that, you know, we helped them with various things, whether that was some brain stuff or whether it was some body stuff. And so we really learned what athletes were wanting, both from a performance standpoint and a recovery standpoint. And I've always thought cannabis was a great performance enhancement, but this was more about from a relief standpoint. So we did a lot of education back when the Falcons went to the Super Bowl in Houston. We went down there and we did a big radio row with Ryan Stewart on education. But all the products were amazing. And again, we followed suit with Charlotte's Web. We became the official CBD of the Atlanta Braves. What we did is we created an NSF certified product. NSF is a category that athletes have to abide by if you're a professional athlete to make sure you're not taking anything with an illegal substance that would make you hit on a drug test. Right. And so our products went through a rigorous testing product process and approval process, both with the Atlanta Braves and the NSF organization and MLB baseball to get this through the gates. And so we were the third team in MLB with the CBD sponsorship. Our oil is gone, but now we have an NSF certified gummy. So if you're a professional athlete or a college athlete that will be tested for illegal substances that are on the banned list, we're a safe product.
Wow. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. This is really great stuff. So everything you want to learn about here, what we've just been talking about in terms of Simply Wellness or the Georgia Hemp Company, which does a lot more products, not just for, you look at it, they got bundles for various products, beverages, flowers, edibles, oils, tinctures, topicals. Again, locations centrally located all around metropolitan Atlanta. And by the way, Atlanta, that's just a big monster of a city around. I mean, it's been about, I want to say 25 years since I've been up there. You know, when the Braves used to like lose 100 games a year, but that's, a long
time. When they were down inside the city versus out in Cobb County.
Correct. But and also you do products for pets as well. So there's a lot that's going to cover here. TheGeorgiaHempCompany.com. And real quickly, take about 60 seconds. If there's anything else I'm missing in here, fill in the blanks for me.
Yeah, the TheGeorgiaHempCompany.com. We've been around since 2017. We advocate for safe policies. We advocate for access for everyone. And, at the end of the day, if you want your voice heard, reach out to your elected politicians, your representatives, and let them know what you feel either about cannabis as a whole or hemp in your state. We appreciate your support. Check us out. We hope you like our products and tell a friend.
Fantastic. So also simplysportscbd.com. I see this one, but everything is georgiahempcompany.com, TheGeorgiaHempCompany.com. And again, I've been here and happy to go and welcome on Joe Salome, co-founder, managing partner of the Georgia Hemp Company and Simply Fallness. Joe, thanks for being on with me. Really appreciate you taking time out.
Thank you so much.
All right. And listeners, thank you for tuning in for another Blunt Business. As always, CannabisRadio.com, the Cannabis Radio app to go and catch along with the show, even on YouTube and so many other places. Just look for us. You'll find us. Please feel free to rate and review as well. And we'll talk to you next time.